Okay, we're
Oh.
Okay, well, where were you guys at?
We were just chatting.
How did John's deal go?
He got a lot better press than he got last time, and they kicked some neo-Nazis off and got attention from some of the stations for it, but it still wasn't as positive as we'd like it to be. But it was a lot better than last time. It came out good. They had about 300 versus about 100 or less. And the people on the other side, interestingly, were wearing, a lot of them were wearing, most of them were not probably not Muslims. There was a girl with her arms and elbows and most of her chest and legs exposed, which is anti-Muslim. But there were a lot of people with those white masks on, hiding. Two guys went across the street from our side to their side and started to create a confrontation. And I've got to get with John. He's been busy today. I want to see if anybody got good pictures of them and find out if they were plants trying to create something. But the press only didn't really report on that. So it came off pretty good. You know, they talked about the people that come out of the mosque this time, and he made it very clear it wasn't hate. And that had to do with primarily with kicking the neo-Nazis out. So it did a lot better than it could have. So anyway, Ryan, you got your agenda in front of you, or you want somebody to read it to you? Hello, we lose Ryan? Yep.
Well, I guess we did.
Well, that was quick.
Yeah.
Okay, well, first off, does everybody kind of like the agenda?
Yeah.
Where we are, I think it covers everything we need to discuss.
Yeah. Okay, so I'll take that off my list and move it from draft to, you know, working. And if we do need to make any changes, we can do that.
Where do you get the watermark draft?
You just take and pull that up in Microsoft Word.
What buttons do you have to push to get there?
Let's see. Let me take and bring up Word, and I'll tell you.
I end up writing it up on the top and blowing it up, bolding it, and then making it an outline.
Okay. Of course, when I'm looking for it. Yeah, it's one of those things that when I was doing it, I did it because I know where it is, and now I'm looking for the exact... there you go. You do it under page layout.
Okay, page layout.
Page background.
Oh, I see it. Watermark. Let's see.
And it's got all kinds of interesting things like confidential, or you can do a custom one if you want to.
Yeah, because I don't have the draft one in there. I guess I'll have to play with that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, custom watermark. Oh, wait, there's draft down a ways. Okay.
Yep.
Thanks.
Hey, not a problem. It's one of those things that just, you know, as we're getting to know each other, I want to make sure we all understand that a lot of the things I may type up or throw out there are, you know, very open to change or draft.
Well, I think everything, you know, as far as the specific things, they all will be. I wrote the organizational plan just on my own back after the Bundy Ranch, but ran it through a number of people, and they didn't see any problems with it. It probably could have been better, and we can always revise it, but I do the same thing. It's a draft until everybody blesses it.
Yep.
But the format for the agenda is good. We just, you know, as it changes, you just revise those, add and remove what's necessary.
Yep. So I guess if we take a quick look at the task list, and again, that's another one of those draft things in progress. You know, I think that gives us what we need to know of And I'm putting in, you know, that when the email was sent out, so if we do have to kind of go back and research it a little bit, at least you got a day to look at for your emails. I don't know about you guys, but I tend to have a few of them that stack up occasionally.
Well, I can give a report on mine, but I just talked to Dave a couple hours ago, and he didn't realize how much work he had to do to deal with the house, the cars, the bank account, and all this other stuff. I told him he needed to get 8 or 10 certified copies of the death certificate. He didn't believe me. He got 3, so he had to go back and get more. So he's still dealing with that. He's going to try and get it tonight, he said, if he doesn't get caught up.
Okay.
So that'll come sooner or later.
And like I said, I just kind of gave everybody the benefit we're bit out because we're busy and doing stuff. We're either working on it, it's in progress, or, you know, kind of moving along.
Okay, which job descriptions do you have now?
Let's see. I've got everybody's but Tim's.
Quiet.
Job description?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me give you a quick rundown. What we'd like to do is for you have both the training and communications come up with about 2 or 3 sentences of what that is that you're going to be doing. Go ahead and send it to me, and I'll try to put them all kind of in a similar thing with the intent of putting that little small paragraph, 2-3 sentences up on the website. And below that would then be the organizational email. So if somebody's going down the list and says, well, I want to talk to somebody in OMD about this, that, or the other thing, well, they'll have 7 things to pick from.
Okay.
With, again, the idea trying to do is to help sort some of the mail a little bit in the beginning so that it comes to the right people.
Why don't you compile the ones that you've got and send them out, and then Tim will get a picture of what you're looking for.
I'll go with that.
Okay, I was just going to take and do them all at the same time, but I'll probably get around to it tomorrow. It's on my, again, to-do list now that all of my crap is hanging up and drying.
You can use your draft watermark again on that one.
Yep. See? Isn't it amazing how bureaucracy already creeps into this? But there's that one. I didn't know what to call what Ryan is putting together, that potential response matrix, but basically that would be where he lists out the various events, items, or things that he thinks we might get interested in as the response coordinator and kind of what the status is on them.
Well,
right.
Maybe,
right.
Tim and I, what you and I talked about, the immigration thing, I guess we can brief Tim on it. Because Ryan and I have talked about it, and he might want to put it in the matrix then if we're going to look at that. But Ryan had first thought that Missoula was one of the cities going to receive some of these 10,000 refugees. So we started working on something where the militia up there would intervene, and even to the extent of how. If they went up any of the highways up there in the mountains, just have a fake accident in the middle of the road and wave the buses into a rest area and contain them in the rest area, go in and interview and get pictures of all the refugees and interview them one at a time, even to the point of holding bacon an inch in front of their face, but not harming them in any way, not touching them with it. You know, where's your family? Are you married? You know, good thorough interrogation. Make a report, deliver it to the local sheriff, and post it online as well. But then as I was looking into it, Missoula's not on the list that's currently selected to receive people. There's only 18 cities right now that are acknowledged as receiving the refugees. I think the city councils have to approve it before they do it. I'm not sure. I think that's the criteria they use.
There's a whole bunch of federal, and I haven't seen any state criteria, but there's definitely federal criteria, and this group self-landing in Missoula, they're basically in the paperwork, the bureaucracy process at the moment, and they're trying to gain status as a refugee reception entity. And I haven't seen anything for the city or the state as far as them having to approve it. But I would think there would have to be some process for that. It's hard to think that Missoula, Montana might have a refugee intake standard of some sort.
Yeah, and what that list you're talking about with 180 or 190 on it, they call them affiliate centers. And
yeah.
It's just the NGOs that have agreed to work with the government on refugees, whether they provide personnel to help where refugees are coming in, help process paperwork, contribute money, different things associated with it, not necessarily making their city a receiving center, a receiving location. But if we find a small town somewhere, or a small city or a town somewhere that's receiving them, where they would probably have to go into a larger airport and be bused, or be bused quite a distance, that if we could had militia people down there, that might be an activity for OMD. It's something that we're going to have to consider.
I think that it wouldn't be very difficult to have conversations with some of the guys around the country that they're absolutely concerned about it, especially the ones on the port states where these guys can be brought in. And the plan, I think, is good. And the more that it goes along, talking with the general, speaking with different people, and combining our own ideas, the plan just gets better. So I don't see any reason why we wouldn't want to present it to people who do want to provide that security service for the state.
So this thing in Rus Oaks, Oklahoma, or wherever it is, seems to be bogus. That's the one.
Oh, really?
Floating around the internet for 2 days. Yeah, we did some research on it, and it just is not holding up.
I know I'm going to be in spotty service. I'm going to lose you guys. So if you wanted to go through the actual agenda, then it's probably going to have to wait on that. As far as what Dennis sent out, that that matrix, or rather that spreadsheet that showed everything we talked about and task organization and everything else, that was beautiful. If you can do that, you know, every meeting, that'll be fantastic. And then I guess we can build them on top of each other to cross this or that off. Or you had a mission completed kind of section of it. So.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and try to keep track of that. But since we've got you, why don't you just kind of give us an update of where you are and what you're doing before we lose you?
Okay. Well, at this specific moment, I'm driving back from the Centennial Valley. Me and my brother and my dad and nephew went and did a little antelope hunting this weekend before I head out for the week. So the idea is to head out tomorrow, and we should be heading, we're going to head straight down to the Bundy Ranch and meet with them, and then continue on that timeline. So as far as I know, I'm still on schedule.
Okay, and who's headed out with you?
I have a couple of guys from the local unit up here, and I believe that that's as far as what's heading down there on this trip this week. John Ritzheimer is supposed to meet up with me at the Bundy Ranch, and I may ask him to join me in a little bit more travel than that. And then when I leave out again at the beginning of November, that's when there should be a pretty decent gathering from people from around the country.
John indicated he's going to be out here in November already, so apparently you've talked to him and he's said he's going to be out here.
Yeah. Yeah, he sounded pretty excited about it, so that's good. I think he's excited to get started on the company.
Release. He owes me a dollar and a beer.
Right, right. You drive a hard bargain.
I know. But if I'm under contract, it disassociates it from other activities.
Oh, sure. So, Dennis, does that answer your question, or were you looking for more specifics on that?
No, that's good. You just kept saying we're going to head out.
Oh, yeah.
And that's also just kind of begged the question of who's the we.
Yeah. Are
right.
Are you going to have these people do applications?
surely Tom will be, or who you know as Ernie. And the other guy probably will not. He's not positive he's going to go with me for this week. He's not positive that he's going to go on the a long-term deal, just because he doesn't feel a use in it. He would basically be going as security. I know that there's plenty of tasks that he could perform, but you know, if he doesn't feel like he's going to be useful, he's not going to go do it.
We're going to do applications in everybody that's coming out here in November, aren't we?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody that heads out to that should be. I mean, I don't know that it's totally necessary, because a couple of the people are not. They don't intend to be OMP affiliated, although I'm sure they have no problem with dissemination and things like that. What they're coming more for is to plan out the presentation and take part in that.
Well, there are going to be some discussions going on here that we would not have on the phone. And I would be reluctant to have them unless we have somebody willing to do the application, whether they're going to be on Tier 2 or not.
Well, we just make that a condition for those discussions. I mean, if there's a couple of people who don't want to fill out, I'll put it forward. Hey, you know, we're going to be talking about this type of stuff. I don't want to even go into the sensitive information part, but at any rate, I'll see if they want to fill it out. If they don't, then go over there and sit by the drink or something, or, well, we have a discussion.
Well, I guess we could do that.
Yeah, because like Mergenthaler, I don't know that she's going to want to directly be involved in OMD. I do know that she wants to be a part of the presentation.
Well, we'll just keep the two issues separate then.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's better anyway. I mean, that way, I'm probably the only tie between the two at that point, and yourself. But you don't have to be a part officially, and then that doesn't make it look like you're trying to implement a political process and build a defensive force at the same time, which might look a little aggressive.
So when you do this, you're not going to be in any way affiliated with OMD when you go on the road trip?
I will be. But not,
I mean, as far as your presentations, you're not going to mention OMD in regard to it.
Right, right.
Except that's a good way to get information about things that are happening.
Sure, yeah. And, you know, part of it's going to be going and giving the presentation. The other part is making those contacts, like we talked about, those face-to-face contacts. And that'll be the OMD side of it. I mean, it's two-pronged, but it splits at the handle, if you will.
Okay. That works. I guess, Tim, you and Dennis are aware of the road trip and what that's about, aren't you?
Yeah. If you could go through it again, I'd appreciate it. I know that he's going out to give a presentation, but that's about it, really.
The presentation itself should have service for a couple more minutes here. The presentation itself is going to be based on the plan for restoration of constitutional republic, which I think I've sent you a link to. If not, you can find it on the Outpost of Freedom website, Gary's website, which is a historically backed outline for a plan, a very detailed plan that can be implemented in order to start moving things back towards restoring this union into a constitutional republic. And the idea is it includes aspects like committees of safety and the implementation of the militia, the cohesion between the militia and the committees of safety, committees of correspondence, all the different avenues that need to be pursued. Very similar to how the founders did it, with a modern applicability. And so the idea is to go around and give this presentation to, we'll just call them interested parties, that are closer to the mainstream, that have large followings. For instance, the Tea Party would be a good one. where they are putting effort forth. They are active in the political process. They're petitioning legislators. They're lobbying. They're doing things in order to try to make a change, but it's totally ineffective. It's naturally throughout history has shown that as a government becomes tyranny, they don't ever return the liberties to the people. And so the founders took that path of setting up that parallel structure, that parallel government that filled the gap when government didn't perform its necessary tasks and what ultimately led to independence. And so to go around the union and go into those interested parties and give them a plan that will actually be effective as opposed to the what probably isn't a waste of time. It's probably prudent to put the effort in that they're putting in, but it has to be becoming obvious to them by this point that it's ineffective. So we just want to plant seeds and then watch those trees grow. Give them some water. Give them some support if they need to call us. I'm sure a ton of contacts are going to be made for it, and we'll develop the plan further as far as the protecting ourselves legally and physically. And that's kind of the other half of this trip is also to build the second prong of this endeavor, which is the defensive mechanisms that will allow the political side to do what it has to do without fearing for their life.
I guess we lost Ryan.
You guys still there?
Okay.
Yep, we're here.
Okay. Well, that's kind of the idea behind it. At the same time, you know, I should have a few people with me, and obviously I'll be able to maintain communication. So if an OMD response comes up, you know, I'll still be maintaining that OMD part as well. It'll be just as much in focus. So tracking projects, and like you said, this last week I have not had a chance at all to work on the response matrix, or excuse me, the project response project matrix. And I should be able to get on that with some road time here this week. And then I'll just come up with a priority, you know, this is high priority, low priority, or maybe it's a possibility or something rather. This has a high probability of being an event that's responsible, this has a low probability. And it's probably going to be a good idea to include some contacts and stuff. So I'll start working on that this week, and I should have at least a preliminary product for you next Sunday.
Excellent. And if you could perhaps also, you know, use your crystal ball and have maybe some kind of an idea if this is something that OMD might be involved in the next 30 days, the next 6 months, the next year, that kind of thing.
Okay, so a probability and also a timeline or an outlook, projected outlook.
Yeah, just how quick you think it's developing and how quick we might need to, you know, rally folks and do something.
Okay. Yeah, and if you guys have any other ideas, I'll remember that stuff because it's kind of that stuff that obviously should be in there. If you have any other ideas or things that you think that we would like to see or future board members would like to see as part of the project matrix, then shoot me an email and I'll incorporate that stuff. Obviously, everything that we want to add into it, workload on the project, or excuse me, but the response coordinator, I don't mind that. Anybody who wants to be a response coordinator is probably of the mind to devote their time to it anyway. So.
Yeah. But I think the contacts would be also good just because in case somebody's out of pocket and somebody else might need to pick it up or something.
Sure.
I think that refugee interrogation or refugee interdiction is something that you want to have as a subject on your matrix.
Hello.
Oh,
got you guys.
Yeah, somehow I got you guys back. Are you there?
Yeah.
Yep, we're here. Anything else you got? Because you seem to be pretty intermittent.
Yeah, it's going to go in and out. I don't think anything specific. Just go down and help Tim out for a couple of weeks, and at the same time, be and kind of a mess and everything else, implementing this training center. Are you going to be able to check today?
Is it your phone cutting out, or is it my phone cutting out?
I think
it's probably mine. 100.
Did you ask me a question?
Call back if I can.
Okay, because I'm pretty sure he asked me a question, but I didn't hear it.
Yeah, it was broken. I couldn't get it either, so he should be back shortly. But okay, so he's on schedule to go on his trip. And he's going to go ahead and do the matrix. Excellent.
And he was, what he was breaking up was he was talking about the training center down in your neck of the woods there. Tim.
Yeah. Well, my training center is pretty much the National Forest right now.
That works.
Until I can come up with about anywhere from $1 billion to $2 billion.
Oh, come on, man. That's just pocket change. Just win the lotto and you're there.
Yeah. Well, I can't even get people to donate to Arizona Border Recon because I guess their hands cramp up when they give you the thumbs up. It's hard to, you know, get your index finger extended to hit the donate button.
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with there have been so many fund me's and funds asked for over the last 4 or 5 years that people are, and nobody sees any results out of it, that they're hesitant. Surprisingly, you know, there's been some good support for Massey. But,
yeah.
You know, he's suffering in jail right now. But you know, everybody starts to GoFundMe. And
well, that's why, you know, I did a video. It's on YouTube. It's about the man portable two-way radio repeater that I developed, and with R&D and putting it together, that one there, I'm into that for about $3,000. So the video was to show that, look, you donate, I'm not just blowing it at a titty bar. I'm actually doing something with it.
Well, we're looking at BTFA, and when they get organized, it's we want to get people on that board that are fundraisers and marketers.
Right.
But, you know, we've got to get some, we've got to try and find some people in the Patriot community that have that nature, that characteristic.
And you would figure that somewhere in all these corporations that are making millions upon millions of dollars, there's got to be at least one.
Well, I think there's probably people out there if we find the right people. I've got a couple feelers out with people to see if they know anybody of that nature. I haven't heard back yet, but it could take, you know, I'll bug them again during the week and find out. But if we can put that in together, then we're going to have people that are experienced in it. And I know I'm not interested in participating on BTFA because of the health of his daughter. But in talking with him, when we get this set up, that he will give some names out or get people in touch with BTFA that probably will. They're tied with the computer industry. You know, the
because there's a the town I'm sitting in is for sale. That's 880 acres. He wants about $1 million for it. The dude ranch next door is 245 acres, but it has a 1,000-acre state lease, state land lease for $200 a year. So that's 1,200 acres. And the Dude Ranch has, I think, 37 one-bedroom casitas, And then I know it has 2 3-bedroom houses on it, a 3,000-square-foot shop, 2 dining halls, a kitchen. It also has the oldest continuously inhabited building in Arizona. This building was made back in when Arizona was a territory. And they both sit directly on the line, you know. If I had 1,200 acres, I could do whatever the hell I wanted.
Yeah, you'd block that area off as rather expensive. What if you had 40 acres, though, for the training?
Once you get into size like that, you're in closer to more people, and so you couldn't do any live fire or anything like that.
Well, what if you got somebody with a larger piece to cut out 40 acres, sell you 40? That was suitable for ranching.
That's going to be a tough thing to do, because if they want to sell, they want to sell the whole damn thing. I mean, I've got a world-renowned tracker who said that if I can get property down here, he'll come down and run classes out of there. And this guy is just phenomenal at tracking.
But that could be done on state land, federal land.
Yep. But he wants to leave out of Nevada and come down here. He goes, you get a piece of land, dude, and I'm down. I'm also looking at and also when you're looking at 40 acres or something like that, I mean, all the big ranches around here, the biggest one is probably just a little bit north of me. That's about 20,000 acres, but that's owned by Pfizer and the pharmaceutical company, and they ain't cutting anything out of that thing.
Oh, they wouldn't.
But a lot of the ranchers, it's possible they might be interested in doing that, as long as you can maintain a 24/7 presence on the ranch. Because I've noticed that most ranchers around here prefer you not to be on their land, even though you're doing what they want you to do, because they're afraid of retribution when you're gone.
Yeah.
So that's why we do all of our stuff out in the wildlife refuge and national forest. So, and if I can get that land, you can also bring in veterans with PTSD, where you could qualify for grants for veterans with PTSD and start rehabilitating them, you know, instead of doing like the government does and just dump them smack dab back in the middle of a big city.
Well, if you do that, what you want to do is lease to, say, Lewis Arthur or somebody part of the land so that it's not, you're not receiving federal funds, he is.
Right. Yeah, well, I do any of this, it's all going to go through a lawyer, because I'm sure that once something happens, they'll go, hey, look at now we... There's something there that we can take of his that, you know, because right now, shit, what do I own? I own a fucking pea-stained mattress and a couple of fucking weapons. So they're like, we ain't nothing to take from him.
Yeah.
You know, I got a truck with over 300,000 miles on it, so not in their interest yet. But we'll see. But I've been talking with people, and... It's just taking time, you know. That kind of money doesn't just happen overnight.
Well, why don't we go on with the agenda where, and then Ryan can listen to the tape. I put the plan and the simplified explanation of the plan in Dropbox, by the way.
Okay.
Simplified explanation is very short, but it gives you an overview that it takes a while to really get out of the big one, or it might not be included in the big one. It was written later, but I can put this tape in the this recording in Dropbox as well, so Ryan can review it then. We've almost killed our hour.
Okay.
So the next item is review individual task list, Dennis.
Yep, I'm on it, and we've already done some of that. So I'm going to take and go back and send out the job positions I've got after I massage them a little bit. Ryan said he's going to go ahead and develop his potential response matrix while he's on the road, so we should hear something by next week. I don't think we're going to bother him about the logo and letterhead design until he gets back. I didn't know who was working on our website. Do you perhaps know, Gary?
No, I don't. I think Ryan has somebody that's going to do it. Now, as far as the logo and letterhead, I can make one up for the time being, and the only thing on it is we don't have any phone numbers or anything and don't want to get that out. It'll have the logo. It'll be a DOT, you know, the template that would have just the logo on the web page at least, and then you could just, you know, build upon that. So I'll go ahead and get one of those ready.
Okay, so I'll change that to you, and once I get it, I'll go ahead and make sure the agenda and stuff has that sort of stuff on it.
Okay.
We already talked a little bit about the email addresses for the board member. Gary, you said your guy's, you know, obviously busy, but he's working on it.
Yeah.
Once I get the positions refined a little bit, you can take a look at them, send me back some stuff, and we'll put it through the system as many times as necessary to get it what we need.
Well, you're going to get that out now, so at least to Tim, if you want to mail it directly to him so he sees what the structure is. It might help him in putting his together.
Yeah, what I'll do is probably tomorrow I'll have some time. I'll go ahead and do it out, and I'll send it out to everybody, and then you can kind of take a look at the edits and just see if you like the direction I'm going to.
Okay.
Let's see. I think we had a potential applicant for the research slots. I think it was Wells, if I remember correctly.
That was
Ryan's
contact, wasn't it?
Hmm?
Is that Ryan's contact?
I think
yeah.
So. He said he was going to be sending out an application for us to look at, and I haven't gotten one yet. Anybody? I didn't know if anybody else had.
So Ryan needs to get in touch with Wells, get him to do the application, get it back to us so we can bring him into the fold.
Yep. So, again, that's why that's kind of as a working item, because I wasn't sure exactly where he was at on it. And pretty much everybody else did everything they said they were going to do. And my intention is just to take and leave the completed items sort of at the bottom of the list, because if you need to go back and see if something happened or when the email went out or how the decision was made.
My way of doing that is highlight the line and hit font and do strike through. Leaves it legible and it shows it is completed.
Okay. But like I said, I think I'm going to, if everybody's okay with it, just leave it like this because you got the completed down on the side with the date rather than putting a strike through. Just easier if I print it. It doesn't have a strike through to it.
Okay.
So I guess one of the things I'm going to add to it is that we agreed to go ahead and record the calls.
Right.
And kind of this is also not just tasks, but I guess it's also some kind of decision sometimes. And that I guess, Gary, you're going to be responsible for sending out the link then.
The link for?
For the recorded version of each of these calls.
Oh, it'll go live. Dropbox.
Yeah.
Does everybody's on Dropbox now, aren't they?
I'm not.
Didn't you get an invitation for Dropbox?
It's a good possibility. I'll have to go back in my emails and look. I've just been doing my one-man dog and pony show over here, trying to get my website back again and everything else. But, I'll look tonight and then go back and go into Dropbox.
Yeah, I'll send you another invitation. It'll come today.
Okay. Appreciate it.
Okay. So then we're going to do it via Dropbox.
What?
You're going to do it via Dropbox,
yeah,
the distribution.
Often things are too big to email. I mean, some things are small,
okay,
the documents and things like that, but larger items, you know, if it's over 10 meg, a lot of emails won't process it.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll do that. Anything else we should add?
that I can think of.
Hey, Dennis, are you still planning on heading out to towards Tim's place in that first couple of weeks of, or somewhere thereabouts in those first couple of weeks of December?
That's my intention, and right now the wife says it shouldn't be a problem. We just have to make sure it doesn't line up with some kind of a procedure she may be having. But, yeah, I'd like to try to get out there for at least 2-3 days, if not longer.
All right.
And I chatted with Tim a little bit, I think, on our first call, and he seemed at least receptive to an extra visitor. Is that still okay, Tim?
Yep, I got the room, and that'll give me, you know, 6 or so weeks to try to put the finishing touches on my palette.
Well, don't do anything special. As long as we got a place maybe to burn a steak or something out back, that'll probably work.
Oh, yeah. We got that.
The invitation's in the mail.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I'll have a couple of guys from different places that are interested in being cadre for the deal and such. And then we all intend on also lending a hand with whatever operations you got going on at the time, Tim. So I've got those guys. They have your website. I don't know if anybody has started the process yet, but they're aware of it.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. I'll be. I have one the week before Thanksgiving, and then I guess when you guys come out, we'll go out and do the nickel tour. It starts to get. I don't know. I'm not a fan of winter down here. It gets bone-chilling cold for me. I'm the desert lizard guy. I like it 115. I like it 115 degrees out.
Well, that's what's your average beginning of December weather in the nighttime out there?
Nighttime.
20s? Okay. I'm from Southern California, and that and spent most of the winters I spend out in that area, and I kind of, I mean, I see, I
you
I
pull
can
over by that trailer.
Certainly see dips right of in the 30s and probably the 20s as well. So, and I'm from Montana, so it's a lot easier for us guys to do that stuff.
That was
the winter. But there's the biggest problem is there's no humidity. So,
it makes it feel terrible.
It really cuts through you when there's no humidity. But, we'll see when you're out here. We'll see what's going on.
All
right.
Wells was brought up, right? Ryan, were you going to get an application to Wells for research?
Oh, yes. Yeah, like I said, this week I have not done a darn thing. I've been going crazy on the house. So I'll get that to him. I should have plenty of driving time, like I said, over here on the next week or so to get everything nicely in order.
Well, he's going to be on top tier. It'd be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's given one warning for evidence of that.
You and
okay. Say that again, Gary?
It'd be nice if you could get him on board by next meeting so we get him on the tier.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be. I've been meaning to talk to him here about a month anyhow, so during our drive will probably be a good time for me to give the call.
Okay.
He's retired, so I think he's a master sergeant or something like that.
Okay, we're on, we're at number 5 on the agenda if you have it in front of you, I think. Oh, wait, no, 4.
Yep. Okay, what is it? Oh. I don't have an agenda right here.
Okay, so number 4 is discuss potential new members. That would be you, Ryan. I guess we just talked about Wells. Is there anyone else that's potential?
I'm not looking at anybody specific at the moment.
Okay.
Unless you guys have any ideas for people we should be talking to for either of the tiers. When I get my mind good and 100% into things this week, I'm sure I'll come up with more people as well.
Okay, well, then we would take and move on to reports from the functional areas, and I would start it off with the planning and research, and pretty much nothing than just doing these organizational tasks and, you know, getting the paperwork out to you guys. So that's where I'm at. Then it would go on to public relations and logistics with Gary. Gary?
Okay, public relations, just we discussed the Ritzheimer thing, and we did manage to fairly successfully change the image of what had, even a few days before, had a bad image, which was the May event. So, you know, I'm 22 years, a career worth of experience in it. I'm finally getting my skills together. Logistics, I've got some information that I was going to pass on to that Mo Peltier, but she's no longer under consideration. We're going to have to find somebody on that, but I'll get out to the board what I've developed based on, I think I mentioned it before, 30 days, 100 people, what equipment and supplies are necessary. And we can start, you know, if anybody's got any input on that, additions to it. I think the idea is, what if we have access to both funds and, like, portalettes, running portalettes versus pit toilets. So it has to be looked at like, say, a remote versus a well-funded close-in operation. But I'll get what I'd worked up before out to everybody for their consideration.
Okay. If that's it, Gary, then, Tim, we would move on to you for communications and training.
Well, I'm still still communicating and training. I've been starting to work on what I would consider as a model for all around the country for necessary training, at least the key fundamentals. And then I'm putting together a communications thing. Basically, it's like a PowerPoint. First, it goes into like a radio theory and everything, so people understand how a radio actually works instead of just, "Hey, Uncle, why can't you hear me?" So I'm working on it. I figure another week or so I should have pretty much both of them done, except for, I mean, on the training, I got the course objectives, but time frame, I haven't, really can't say, because it all depends on who you're training, you know?
Yeah.
So, but I'm working on the, what you would call, I don't know, chapters or steps or courses that I think are relevant to everybody around the country.
Well, the simple ones, you know, the novices would be a prerequisite to the advanced courses. So you just write, I would think you'd write them in, you know, the building up to more detailed training and just, you know, see which ones are prerequisites to the next level.
Yeah. Like I said, it's in its rough stages, and I might go, well, not everybody's going to be able to handle that. I'll bump that off into the next one and put something in. You know.
Hey, Tim, on communications, I have, I don't know how up you are. We haven't had any discussions on it, you and I, but I spoke with a gentleman that I used to work with, and he filled me in on some stuff that's available on the civilian market that is encryptable to... it's not it's unbreakable, obviously. There's no such thing. But it is encryptable far beyond military standards, even. And all the way from handhelds that are line of sight and to HF radios that can transmit around the world from a backpack. and everything's encrypted. So I spoke with him quite a bit on that. He gave me some contact information and some pricing on what each system costs. And I kind of put together kind of just a preliminary idea of something that, that would be usable for responses initially.
Uh-huh.
And I guess we can have further conversation on that aside from this meeting.
Yeah, I mean, you got to look at most militias around the country are using basically the Bofangs, which aren't encryptable, but, you know, they're $30. They're a great little radio for a 5-watt, $30 radio or whatnot. But we've upgraded ours to Motorola XPS series, and they're P25-256 encrypted. And but you're looking at, I mean, for a mobile radio that goes in our truck, they're 110 watts, so we can boom almost anywhere. And then those are running us about $300 once you get them fully encrypted and everything else. And then the handhelds, the 5-watt of the Motorola, those things, once we get them up to spec and everything else, they're $450 a pop, which is not bad because, you know, the government pays 10 times that amount for them. And,
it's not bad at all. The ones he was talking about are for the handheld. It's a package deal, and you buy 8 radios, and you get 2 chargers, and then you get the encryption device. They have an external encryption device, similar to an ANCD, if you're familiar with the military stuff from within the last 15 years or so.
Right.
And they were running like $1,800 a radio, is what he was thinking, $1,500 to $1,800.
A radio?
Per radio, yeah.
Well, no, I think the 450 sounds like a better bargain. And, I mean, 256 encryption, once you're in there, even if you had a computer that could start trying to disseminate the encryption, it'd probably take you 5 or so years to crack that encryption.
Yeah, have hundreds of millions, actually, and possibly billions of different possibilities.
Right.
It takes a long time.
And I had some...
Well, go ahead. Sorry.
I had somebody who donated. We wanted to upgrade to them, and we did, but we were running them in the clear, and somebody stepped up and said, hey, why aren't you running them encrypted? It's like, well, the key loader for the encryption costs, you know, $2,500. He goes, all right, well, you just let me know what, and I'll buy it. So now we have the key loader, so we can load any encryption we want into them, and we can change it whenever you want. I mean, it's the same thing they use in pretty much worldwide in all governments, the Motorola radio. So, I mean, it's a damn good radio. It's proven, and for $450, I can get what's that?
These
four radios.
Motorola as well. So the I'm sure that probably more along the lines of what you're talking about is better for individuals, and then maybe I told Patricia Aiken about $30,000 initially for the communications package, and that was estimating. Basically, about $25,000 would go towards the high-frequency long-distance communications, and it's all data burst. There's no voice.
Right.
And so you type up what looks like an email, basically, and shoot that out.
Yeah.
And it sends
yeah.
it in packages, which are also encrypted. So that is multi-layered. And those are, I was estimating probably somewhere just over $10,000 to $12,000 per, and that would include a couple $1,000s for a truck for it all to sit on.
Right.
And those, it's probably more important that those packages come through and be the high-end stuff, because the line of sight with your 256-bit encryption is probably just fine. I mean, I don't see, if they're going to accept a strategic message that's going from you know, for hundreds of miles that we're going to use a base radio for, it's more important that be encrypted than it is for them to intercept tactical information that they can't encrypt anytime soon anyway.
Right.
Or rather, they can't be encrypted.
Yeah, I've got a 40-foot base tower here. I've got a 25-foot mobile that goes with the vehicle, plus I have a man portable repeater that you can put up on any mountaintop, and it'll bounce and beam. So we can put it together. We looked at those Motorola military grade. It was cool. I mean, they came in Coyote Brown and shit like that, but the Motorola reps were going, "Nah, you guys can't afford these, so don't worry about it." And now I know why. Yeah, $1,800 a pop. They're also, Motorola's coming out with the new ones. That's why the XTSs are being dumped online so cheap, is because they're coming out with the APX. APX 5000 and 7000, and those things are just phenomenal radios. But the cheapest you can find them is, like you say, they're about $2,000 a pop.
Right. Right, yeah, and these base radios that I'm speaking of, I'm sure you've seen them, they're the box that sits on the back of the Humvee. All of the equipment that is in there, that stuff that the military has deals with Raytheon and Harris. I have friends who work for Harris now as trainers and advisors and consultants. They've kind of given me a price rundown. If anything were going to go Harris, it would probably be the man-packable stuff that's still large, not a handheld.
Right.
But you're looking at $10,000 to $15,000 per radio for that. And then batteries are, they're not cheap for those damn things. And then your other stuff is Motorola. And basically all you need to do to keep costs down is go with a traditional civilian, probably a higher end ham setup, and then insert the encryption device after the computer so that the computer will be typing the message. And then it'll have its own encryption, and then it'll go through the encryption device, and then into the modem, then the radio.
Right.
But like I said, this is all stuff we can talk about on the side. I mean, I don't know how much that is appearing here and all that.
But you got to also remember that if you do a call to action somewhere or anything else, you're going to have fucking monkeys playing with this stuff, and monkeys break shit. And the more expensive it is, you know, so not unless you're going to have key personnel and only key personnel touching this stuff. And,
yeah, and you're, as far as the handhelds go, anything that is bought by OMD, that's kind of what the response coordinator job description entailed, is that the response coordinator is administratively in charge of all field actions and personnel and equipment. So, you know, basically I would be signing out radios to the guys that are key OMB personnel only, and then if they need to go to, you know, a couple of the unit commanders, they can, whatever, but they'll have to be signed out, and that's going to have to be documented. And I don't see any reason that we shouldn't just be up the front on at some point that are communication savvy to run base stations.
True, but, you know,
they have to be controlled.
And, you know, it's like here, even though ours are only $450 a pop, if I have a group coming in from outside and I need their team lead to have the fully encrypted, then I make them sign a piece of paper saying, I checked this out, and if I bust it, fuck it up, or anything else, I have to pay to get it fixed. Because, you know, either that or people don't give a shit about it. I mean, look at Border Patrol. They beat the crap out of the trucks because they're not their own. You know,
right.
I mean, so
communications, you also need to consider that we're starting off on a shoestring budget if an event comes up before we've got funds available, and so we also need to look at some code method, you know, code word method of conveying information that is part of communications.
Well,
Tim, if you could mark this down real quick, I'm going to lose you guys here shortly. We need to look at, have a matrix for what communications platforms we'll be using on the ground, you know, and between the advisory board as we go into an action. So over this distance and for this level of information, we're going to use a cell phone. Anything that's important, strategic information, goes over the hand that's encrypted, and, you know, tactical information. But anyway, having a SOP for that.
Yeah. We've also found, in the beginning, we tried to run code, and it was a fucking nightmare because it was like, And so to get the message out as fast as possible and as clear as possible, we just make everybody do clear text, don't try to run codes, because, like I said, you got monkeys out there. I mean, and so you got to keep it as, like, it's the KISS principle.
You don't want... The operation, like the Bundy Ranch, though, would have been beneficial, and I think they had some code set up.
Yeah.
We have to consider OMD operations as well as border operations.
Well, and that's the beauty of, like, the Motorola, is we can run digital or analog. So if you run analog, you're talking to all the guys with both fangs. And then if you're on the analog, then you need to say something. You go, hey, go to two. And just the people who need to know that are encrypted go to two, and nobody can hear it. And then they can pass it along in clear speech, you know. So that way, I don't know, I'm not a big fan of codes and everything, but...
The problem is, if we don't have the encryption capabilities, what are we going to do if we want some security in the communication and an OMD operation? We've got to have an operation come up in 2 weeks. There's no way in hell we're going to have equipment, encryption-equipped radios by then.
Well,
just simple things like shack code. I don't know, Gary, what you're talking about might be more mission-specific. I mean, a shack code is definitely mission-specific. But your five-letter code words, you know, a Boris report is a long-range surveillance community substitution for what a Salute report is. We call it a Boris. They're all five-letter names that have no repeating letters, and they signify what you're talking about instead of saying it. And the only person that knows what you're saying is somebody on the other side who has the code word. They know the code word, so... When I say Boris, they know that there's going to be a Salute report coming. Rambo means I'm going
five-dash crazy. That are critical to the types of message you'll convey and assign codes to them, right?
Yeah. So I can get with Tim on this stuff. That's a good point. And Dennis, if you're keeping track of that, then that it'll be cool. You can just, I guess, make that specific. Otherwise, Tim, this week sometime I'll get with you, and then we can talk a little more in detail on communications.
Right.
Okay. For me, just go ahead and summarize real quick in about 5-6 words what it is you want for the tasker.
Who are you asking?
No, I'm saying either Ryan or Tim. What should the tasker be? We've talked about a bunch.
You mean a description or what?
No, you just want it to be talked about encryption?
Well, we have to get a game plan together. I mean, he's talking about, you know, $50,000 worth of radio gear, which would be nice. Fuck, I'd love that. But we have to work with what we have, and we're working with basically Bofangs around the country. So we're going to have to work with Bofangs, and like Gary says, yeah, I guess we'll have to start coming up with at least a half a dozen or so code words, or 10 codes. So
okay, so we want to develop voice 10 codes?
Yeah, 10 codes.
Okay, develop voice 10 codes. Is that you, Tim?
I think it's what'd you call him, Ryan? Did we lose him again?
Well, basically, it's the same thing, but I'm just calling it a 10 code because, you know.
Okay. Well,
you can use words. You can use words.
Activity, locations, and things like that. Locations would be assigned on the scene. You know, and I think it's going to be more than a dozen words out of necessity.
Well,
right.
You start with they're brevity codes, is what they are.
Right. Ones that can be used all around the country for certain things, like, hey, get your ass over here. I need to show you something.
Okay, so develop voice brevity codes, because then that's not limited to a specific system. It works that way. Gary, and you're probably in progress since you just got it.
I did?
No. Tim.
What?
Misspoke. So you're in progress when you see it on the report. You can tell us something next week.
Yes, sir. I can do that.
Okay. Well, good deal. Okay. Let's see. Anything else, Tim? Because I guess the next one would have been Ryan for his response coordination, but already.
Yeah.
Then it would be any new or emerging significant issues. Anybody got anything?
Well, I've been fairly close in touch with Ryan, and nothing has come up. His road trip that he's starting now, the initial road trip before November, is going to be touching on some of these Fennicum, Lyman, Lease, I think his name is, and I'm still trying to find a contact with the Area 51. Right now, those are the only four that are potential, and there's been really no progress on it from last week.
Okay. And then we would have the chairman's closing remarks, which I hopefully got an antelope or two. You never know.
Well, I think his closing comment was click when the phone hang up, wasn't it?
Okay. Well, any saved rounds, anybody?
Last thing. Hey, Gary, you were saying you might have something within the next 2 weeks. Is that be the Area 51 thing?
I have no idea. You know, we've not made contact with them, but Fennicum, Ryan's going to be talking with them. Lyman has gotten me some information, so he's at least started moving as far as getting information. I haven't compiled it yet. Gleese, Ryan is going to talk to when he gets, I think, after he leaves the Bundy Ranch, and he's going to talk to Cliven about it first because Cliven knows Gleese. So there's been no real progress, but one could come up because the Bundy Ranch came up less than 10 days before the unrustling. Ryan was on his way up there on the 7th, and the unrustling was on the 12th.
Right.
He didn't know about it on the 6th. So things can happen quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was actually flying up to meet him on the 10th, and he disappeared on me.
Okay.
What, on the Bundy thing?
Well, I was flying up to just meet with him before the Bundy thing happened.
Oh, yeah. And
then all of a sudden I got up there, and he'd left 3 days before.
Right. And that was it. It can come up.
Yep. Real fast.
And,
well, that's what I was going to say was if it happens over there, then let me know, and I'll bring all my encrypted radios and stuff that way.
That would, you know, encryption definitely is the best route. But, you know, I don't expect anything, but the thing is, you know, what we're trying to do with OMD now is move as quickly along to the point where we've got a web page up, and I think Ryan has somebody, and I'll bug him about it, to do the web page and, you know, get functional so that we can start getting people as followers of the web page, so if something comes up that we've got the communication system.
Right.
So, you know, there is an anticipation of potential for emergency, if that makes sense.
Yep.
I'm back again, guys. Sorry about that.
Oh, okay, no problem. We're at your chairman's closing remarks.
All right, well, I know that you had a bunch of holes and stuff. Before I go on, was there anything important that happened with the global rallies for humanity that's worthy that I missed?
Well, only that they missed it, that the press
you're coverage... You're pretty dim there, Gary.
The press coverage of Ritzheimer's event was a lot better than last time.
Okay.
Still had
aside from that, it went smoothly.
What?
Aside from that, it went smoothly.
It went smoothly. They kicked out some neo-Nazis, and that got attention in a couple of articles. The issue wasn't hate this time, because John kept saying, we don't hate anybody. We're concerned about the people that come out of these mosques. And he listed a number of people that did it. So we ended, turned it quite a bit from last time.
It would be nice on a PR side of things to look at. I know that there's a lot of individual units around the country that are physically tracking some of these training camps and the mosques that are putting out radicals and stuff like that. It'd be interesting to formulate some type of public address to that and incorporate it, you know, those numbers. Because I just imagine, I know the FBI right now is particularly concerned about militia groups that are looking into radical Islam, but the fact that they're, I don't know that that's as big of a story as it really should be, or if it's talked about very much.
Well, the reaction so far is everybody's putting up videos and no story. I've talked to John about getting some pictures and me doing a story about or at least the Phoenix rally that would show the positive side, but I think he's been awful busy and been sucking some suds at the same time. So, you know, I'll get with him when he's settled down a little bit. I think he's still a little high from how well it went. And I'll get with him and do a follow-up story on the Phoenix rally when he has time. Show the different light. You know, I can't address the other ones, but, you know, the FBI is looking in the wrong direction again like they usually do. They're warning the Muslims that the Patriots are a threat to them, but they're not warning the American people that the Muslims are a threat to the American people.
Yeah, and the line on that, on the publications that are talking about the FBI looking into them and the FBI's remarks on it, but what that makes obvious is, you know, I've done my own research and talked to a few gentlemen around the country about specific things that they've been looking at and little operations they've been pulling, surveillance and such, just trying to get a real handle on what's going on. Not only that, but I think the fact that the FBI is looking into it, it illuminates that militia units around the country and not just what we're going to call, you know, the Patriot movement at large, it means that people are actually taking a tactical they're actually taking a tactical approach, you know, to doing operations and figuring these things out. So, I guess that's what I mean by the attention to it, is the only thing that people can see that has attention on it right now is the fact that the FBI is talking about it. Well, the fact that they're talking about it is because not only are conversations like ours going on, but because there's active operations going on. And maybe bringing some illumination to those active operations and what they're uncovering, which would probably require some anonymity for some of these guys, but talking about that might be a preparatory avenue for something that we might have to do in the future.
You mean the activity of the FBI in investigating, or the activity of militia groups?
The activity of the militia groups and their findings.
I don't know that I'd want to write about that, because then I'd be accused of pointing out what they're doing. You know, the government's going to find out. I mean, you know, the only one I started to read had to do with the FBI looking at the 3%ers. And, you know, there are some legitimate 3% groups. That one that, you know, that will liaison with OMD is a 3% group, but they're not online. The 3%ers online, you know, I don't know if they'd ever get off their asses, quite frankly. but I don't want to go where operations are going on and expose them and help the government. You know, what we've got to do is become the model on getting applications from people and vetting people and things like that. I think OMD can serve best as kind of a model of making sure that you don't have bad guys, doing your best to make sure you don't have bad guys. Macy, Beecher, Wolf all thought their good, their personal judgment was good enough to detect who was a bad guy, and all three of them got fucked by somebody they thought was their friend.
Right.
So, I think us being a model, and once we get OMD started, we can talk about the vetting process that we go through.
Right, right, surely, surely. I guess what I'm thinking of, and this is kind of something that I don't know if I brushed on the tip of the iceberg of it for what my idea is for it last week in talking about putting together a intelligence report of some sort, but I guess my idea floats along the lines of sometimes, you know, once I get together a response project matrix, that's going to create a pretty good situation for those specific interests, but there's kind of a general scope as well, and it is, will it fortify, you know, our trustworthiness, will it fortify the entity itself to put out an every now and then, every few months, a situational report, just kind of a, here's what's going on in a bunch of different avenues that people who are interested in the Operation Mutual Defense mission statement would also be interested in these things, or these are the types of events and things that they would be interested in knowing, and that's why we help them get that information.
It's possible. I think that's something for our November discussions.
Okay. That's the show.
Sounds
good. Well, that. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
We were talking while you were gone about you. But how quickly, Tim had asked if we expected anything to come up in a couple of weeks, because I said if we needed radios in a couple of weeks. And you found out. Bundy Ranch on the 7th and the
Unrustling. I lost you again. Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay.
Where the fuck was that?
I don't know.
I don't know.
What was it?
Sounded like somebody was trying to die or something.
Oh. No, you're good. I have other people in the vehicle.
Come on, little guy, try to die.
They're all out now.
Okay.
Go ahead,
you know,
Gary. Repeat what you said.
How quickly things came up. You found out about it on the 7th, and the unrustling was on the 12th. In 5 days. That, you know, the main objective of OMD right now is to become operational, get the web page up, get people signed up so they're on the distribution list or the call-out list, and have our ducks in a row in case we have to respond with a phone call that comes later tonight even, like the ranch did. You received the call on the 7th, correct?
Yeah, it was a couple days after it started, and then we started looking at the topo maps, and then we started researching what was going on, and it didn't look like there was any command and control, so we decided to sit back and watch for a while.
Yeah, but Ryan found out. Ryan, are you there still?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, you found out about the Bundy Ranch on the 7th, right?
Yeah, it was that Sunday night before the next Saturday, so 7 days.
Okay, so that would be about the 5th, I guess, then. That's how quickly things move when we find out about something. Now, hopefully we'll find about potentials with more warning in the future, but we've got to be able to respond on a minute, on a moment's notice. if we're going to be effective in defending people's life, liberty, and property. So that was one of the things we talked about while you were on one of your omissions.
Yeah. Yeah, things will happen quickly. No doubt. And just getting them to a there's an end result that's desirable, but getting things to an interim operational feasibility is important as well.
Where we're organized and ready to respond.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, did you have somebody on for the web page?
Mike is still in line with it. He's been messing around with that software a bit. And he's just waiting for material.
Well, we've got to decide the material. We've got to give him something then.
Sure. Sure.
So,
I agree.
You know, anybody have any ideas? Maybe, Dennis, that needs to go on the agenda for next week, and we need to think about it between now and then.
Okay, I'll put it on the agenda. It's going to be website content.
I'm going to lose you here again, gentlemen, so I'm going to sign off. I would say I'll go over whatever you guys, while I was gone, whatever
sure.
I get from Dennis on the meeting minutes. And I'll have some good time this week to put into it, and I'll be getting with all four of you, all three, I'm sure, this week.
Well, should we adjourn now then?
Yeah, I think we pretty much have covered everything, and if you can just send us an email every now and again letting us know how you're doing.
Brian?
I think he's gone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'll talk to him and make sure he sends us progress reports as he as circumstances warrant as he's traveling.
Yeah, because if he's driving in between and, you know, he says he's got time, well, that's a good time for him to, you know, well, it's fresh in his mind. Send it on out.
Yeah, well, I've talked to him fairly frequently, so I'll make sure that he understands that when anything noteworthy comes up, that he gives a report, either by email or by email, yeah.
Okay, and I'm not going to necessarily do full minutes since we're going to have the whole recording. What I'll do is I'll go through it and probably listen to it one more time, and just make sure I pull out any of the key tasks and things and make sure they get on the agenda or on the task list.
Okay. Very good. Then, gentlemen, have a good evening.
You too, sir. I'm looking forward to the recording so I can go listen to it again.
Okay.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Talk to you next week.